You gotta hustle. Nashville, I will say, loves a hustler. So the harder you work, the more results I think you'll see.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast, where we sit down with the people cultivating the entertainment industry and the influence Yep has had on their music industry community. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich, and we're following up on our last episode featuring Lee Crable and Ryan Beaver of Smack Songs. Another writer from the Smack Songs roster is here with us, and her name is Renee Blair. Renee played our last Holiday Rewind show, and she's with us today to chat about her new music and songwriting journey. Renee shares the steps that led her to a publishing deal and the story behind her recent release, Gotta Quit Drinking. Fun fact about Renee, she has a spot-on Britney Spears impersonation, so you'll get to enjoy a bit of that in this episode. Love Renee. She was so much fun to visit with. Now to our Yep interview with Renee Blair. Renee Blair, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you wanted to be on this. This is going to be super fun.
I'm very excited. This is actually my first podcast.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I've been in talks to do a few, or I think we've like been setting some up, but when you guys asked me, I was like, oh my God, yes, I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And I get to be a part of it.
Woohoo.
Yes. So you're from St. Louis.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And you moved to Nashville when?
I moved to Nashville, God, when I was 17. I literally graduated.
Does it feel like such a long time ago?
It does. It feels like a million years ago. But anyways, I started coming here when I was 15, mm-hmm. and I would skip school one day, roughly a month, sometimes like two, but come down here for voice lessons and started taking publisher meetings.
Yeah,
and begged my mom to let me leave high school early. And she wouldn't do it. So she was, she literally told me, she was like, I don't want you to be one of those child stars that gets a little bit of success and is, you know, all washed up and done by the time you're 20. And looking back, I think she was very smart because she's like, I want you to go to your senior prom. And I did. And I probably would have, if my career took off around 15, 16, when I wanted it to or thought that it would, I for sure would have like been a Lindsay Lohan crazy taking it for granted and not appreciated or probably worked nearly as hard as I do now. But so thanks, Mom.
Yes. Thanks, Mama Blair.
Yeah. But the day I graduated high school, I didn't even spend, when you graduate high school, you want to spend that last summer with all of your friends before you guys leave each other for college. Nope. I was like, I'm sick of you guys. See ya.
Do you feel like that like extra time of living, though, like normal life fueled your writing or your music in some way?
I mean, if you want to dive right in, my music and my story, I moved to Nashville when I was 17, mm-hmm. and then that fall I went to Belmont for 2 years, and then actually had a development deal with a label here and a production team here, and so I left Belmont for that opportunity in that situation, and if I'm being honest, 6 months, what would have been Christmas of my junior year of college, but I wasn't in school, I fell asleep at the wheel and hit a bus and had my mouth wired shut for 8 weeks.
Oh, my God.
So, and that was the first of two really bad accidents that were within 1 year of each other. So I would say that probably was more what has helped shape my 20s and the artist that I now am.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so you played a Rewind show. That's the first time that we met.
Yes.
Funny enough.
Yes.
You were amazing. It was great to hang out. Such a great like holiday group of people.
That was so fun. For those listening, we did a Christmas show.
Yeah, we did.
And everyone sang a different famous Christmas song, and I did Britney Spears. And I've been waiting forever to do my Britney impression.
Can you do it right now for us? Because you showed it to me, or let me hear it.
Let's see. Which song? Let's see. Sometimes I run. That's not good. Sometimes I hide. My Britney, I got it. What's it? Name a different Britney song. That's not the best one.
Hit me maybe
oh,
one
baby,
more time.
Yes. Baby, how was I supposed to know? I just love doing my Britney, truly. It's like what I feel like I do best in life other than be myself.
It mixes it up, right?
So yeah, we sang the third chorus. What is it? Santa, that's my only. Yeah, I can't do the Britney right now to it. Put it on the spot.
I'll just randomly ask you a question about Britney
I'll
at
just
some
answer
point,
like Britney.
And then you'll just respond with an impression.
Yeah, I do it at home with my boyfriend all the time. Like, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, talk about when you first discovered Yep,
because I'm sure that that was a part of your journey being here in Nashville. And, you know, you said you knew Amelia.
Yeah. So that was... Well, we met like earlier this year, and then Mark Rucker, who was here on the podcast recently.
Yeah.
I met him through Smack when I signed my deal there a couple years ago. And he has been amazing at, you know, helping me be a part of whatever he's doing, from this to he helped me sing my first national anthem at a major league game.
Of course he did. We talked about baseball.
Yeah, earlier this year, because I'm like probably the biggest female baseball fan you will ever meet. So he's been really a big cheerleader and supporter of mine and helping me just find awesome new things like this that help artists get exposure and get them seen in a little bit different of a light than we normally would. Because Nashville's just flooded with awesome opportunities everywhere you look. And so it's really hard to figure out, like, you know, which one would be best for me. And so when you have great friends like that, that kind of can help steer you, like, I'm doing something really cool. Why don't you come check it out? So, yeah.
And so at what point in your career have you figured out what to say no to, what to say yes to? How much to fill up your time with? Like, how do you prioritize? Because
I mean, I think you honestly have to say yes to everything at first, just to figure out what works and doesn't work for you. Because you might say yes to something, you know, that you won't say yes to again, or say no to something and then later realize, like, wow, why, you know, that opportunity isn't here anymore, and I missed it, and it was something I should have done. So I don't know. I mean, I think you got to experience everything. Nashville is a tough town, obviously. You know, thousands of people move here a year to do music, and only a handful make it. So you have to be creative. You have to put yourself out of your comfort zone. And so I have firsthand had a lot of trial and error.
I feel like that's a part of anything, though, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as far as, like, you know, if you want to be a songwriter, you got to start writing with everybody. You can't get here and be like, you know, I want to write with Ashley Gorley, you know.
Right.
The best writers in town want to write with Gorley. So you gotta work your way up. You gotta hustle. Nashville, I will say, loves a hustler. So the harder you work, the more results I think you'll see.
And you're a part of the Smack Songs team. Love those guys.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Ryan and Lee are gonna be on a podcast tomorrow night. So
really?
It's like a full week of, like, Smack Publishing. So
I wanna tell you to give Lee some trouble for me, but I won't.
I will, for sure. I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
So can you talk about how that opportunity came about and what you love about being part of that team?
Yeah. So like I said, I went to Belmont, left for this deal, had these two tragic accidents happen, and then I kind of had 2 years where I was in and out of the hospital and surgeries and recovering, which I didn't see coming. So that kind of, you know, I was like, I will have a Grammy by the time I'm 20. I will have a headlining world tour by the time I'm, you know, XYZ age. And so when I had these tragic accidents happen, it steered my course much different direction than I expected. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to look like a victim. I didn't want to look like this damaged girl, because I still have glass in my face. And, you know, I would look in the mirror and all I would see or focus on is not how well I recovered. I would just see how I'm different than before. And so mentally I had to overcome that, like, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable. And so that transpired into my writing a lot. And so, you know, once I fully recovered physically and emotionally from the accidents, you know, I was like, okay, I moved here for music. So now I have this story and this drive and this work ethic. You know, I feel like I lived and now I want to live and really, you know, as big and as full of a life as I, you know, can have. And so I started co-writing a ton and going out to LA and Atlanta and, you know, just networked, and I met everyone I could and, you know, found my team and my tribe and my path. And so after going back and forth to LA a little bit writing, you know, I just really got locked into a groove here and then was taking some publishing meetings and met with Smack at a time when I really was like, I'm giving up. I don't want to take another meeting. Like, I'll never get signed. And I was like, Shane McAnally's the greatest person ever. Of course he's not going to want me. And that's where I ended up. So it's like, it's just so funny. Whenever all the cliches I have learned, once you live them, you realize that is why they are cliches, because they are so real. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
I work out like a psycho now. And if I hadn't had those accidents where I literally had to work out in order to like rehab my body, I would have never worked out to the extent that I do. So I didn't die in that accident. But on the other side of it, I became obsessed with the gym and working out, which is amazing. So back to the Shane and the thing is, it is darkest before dawn. I was having one of those days where I was like, I've taken so many meetings and no one gets me, and he won't get me because he works with people like Casey Musgraves who are on top of the world, and, you know, little old me. And he saw something that I guess no one else had. And so I've been there for about 2 years and then signed a record deal. Nice. And now we're just this year putting music out. So it's awesome.
When can we expect it?
We put one song out earlier this summer called Gotta Quit Drinking. And then about a month ago, put out the second one called Me Tonight. And then the third song is coming out in January. There's not been an exact release date. We're going back and forth with a few. But that's a whole nother world that I don't know anything about. Calculating the right date and things like that. I just like to write.
Right.
And then leave the rest to the other people.
So was there a reason that you released those certain songs to start with?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote for, like, the record once I signed my deal at Smack pretty intensely. You know, I was writing every day, sometimes doubles, for about a year, all of, like, you know, 2016 to 2017. Then we recorded the music. And so I've obviously told you a little bit about my accidents, but once they were over, you know, most people spend their 21st birthday going to bars. I spent my 21st birthday in the hospital. So when I recovered, I loved Midtown. I was like, I have wasted a few years of my youth. I'm going to go out.
Red Door?
I've torn up Red Door multiple times. So, you know, which brings me back to, I was so, like I said, tired of living this accident-filled life that I wanted to be a normal young kid in Nashville. So I went to the bars with my friends. I kissed boys I shouldn't. I sent them dumb texts when I drank too much. And that's what the song Gotta Quit Drinking is about. It's not that I have a drinking problem. It's that I had a problem. Anytime I was two drinks in, I would text this guy that was just so bad for me. I had no business talking to him. And so the song is just a shameless tale and representation of where I was at during, you know, those few years where I was just having fun. And so that being said, I have lived some pain and some tragedy, but music is supposed to be fun.
And you've also lived the response to that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, music's supposed to be fun. So I'm like, if someone's going to turn my music on, I just want you to live it up and forget about whatever chaos or, you know, things that are bringing you down in your life. And, you know, my shows are really lively. I just want you to just kick it. Just throw back with your friends.
Did you want to be an artist first? And then songwriting came, or vice versa, or both together?
Yeah, I told you I started coming here when I was 15, and I didn't ever know that songwriting was even a possibility. I mean, I was 15, I knew nothing about the music industry other than I wanted to sing, I wanted to perform. I just thought beautiful songs would fall in my lap. I don't know. And so when I first got here, a publisher at, like, I think Warner Chapel at the time, was just like, you should try writing a song. Like, just see what comes out. And so I, like, remember scribbling on a notepad the four-hour drive back to St. Louis, my first song. And I've fallen in love with the writing process ever since then. I didn't know that I would love it, but I'm obsessed with it. Like, words are just so powerful, and they can really change people's moods and lives. And I became enamored by that.
Are there writers that you looked up to during that time and still do? That, I mean, I know you said that Shane was one of them, and then, but
when I would go back and forth to LA, I actually met Diane Warren and worked with her.
Nice.
And she has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame from writing songs.
Right.
And so she was a mentor of mine actually until I signed my deal here, and still, you know, we text now, and she's been the biggest inspiration truly that I've ever had from a writing standpoint, because, like I just said, she has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame from writing songs,
you know.
And she acts as if she's never had a song cut. Like, she literally, I swear, this woman must go through her phone every day and text Lady Gaga. Like, she has songs in A Star Is Born. She has multiple songs that Gaga recorded and sang. And she's been up for an Oscar, I feel like, every single year for a song in another movie.
It's insane.
She just doesn't stop. She has no quit in her work ethic. You know, after you have that much success, you can easily buy an island and move to an island and choose to do nothing if you want to.
Right.
But it's a true testament to her passion for music because she's been doing this for 30, 40 years and still writes almost every day. And that, you know, sometimes I'll have a crazy week where I have like two or three writes that are doubles, like, which means, you know, two in a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll finish one and go start another.
Well, we were texting yesterday and you were in a write, and then today you're in one.
I just came here from one. So I don't know how she can do it, but seeing someone like her is what keeps me going on days that I feel just so drained and like, mm-hmm, I have no words left. So that was the coolest. I would say that is one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, is getting to watch her work.
Mm. So what are your inspirations for your writing sessions? Like, what kind of music do you love to listen to? Do you read movies?
What makes
you tick?
That's a really good question. Honestly, I try to get inspiration from everywhere. I would love to think that I could, you know, be walking by and hear someone just say something in passing and be like, ooh, that could be cool. It's funny. We talked about Shane.
Yeah.
His husband, Michael, works, you know, runs Smack.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say, like, sometimes they're having a conversation and he'll just see Shane's eyes, like, go to the corner. And he's like, what did I just say that inspired you? And so it's true. It's like, it could be from reading a book.
Yeah.
It could be from a heartbreak. Or it could just be because we're having a conversation and you said something about, you know, you complimented someone, but the way you worded it, I was like, wow, that could be this spun into, mm-hmm, that spun into this. So, yeah, inspiration can come from anywhere. You just always have to be open to it.
Has there ever been, I was doing a shoot today with another writer, and we were talking about the song idea, just that part of a song. And we were talking about how, like, you know, when you're in the room with another writer and maybe you start with this one idea and then it completely changes into something else that you didn't think it was going to become. Has that ever happened for you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, that actually kind of happened today. We were done with a verse chorus of one song and we started from scratch with another out of nowhere. Like, we didn't even see it coming. We just said something else and we're like, ooh, let's write that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd been working on this other idea or title for 4 or 5 hours today, and we just forgot about it and left it there. And we might still finish it. We might not. But which just brings me back to my point, is I wish I could sit down by myself at home and pick my guitar up or sit down at the piano and write a song by myself. But I love co-writing. I love when someone tells me to, like, challenge myself or gives me inspiration. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I love co-writing. I think two heads or three or however many people are in the room that day is better than one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, you know, bouncing ideas back and forth with people. I am obsessed with co-writing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Collaboration. Can you talk about just your journey being here in Nashville and what it's meant to make your network of co-writers or even friends in the industry? Like,
yeah,
what would you tell yourself upon moving here, you know?
The word fear is something that's thrown around so much, and sometimes we're so afraid of doing it wrong that we hold ourselves back. And that's the only thing I would kind of go back to my old self and say is, don't be afraid that you're going to do it wrong. Be more afraid if you don't do it, you'll never know what it's going to be. So I know that's a weird way to look at it, but sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I'm afraid if I reach out to this person, like, they might not care, they might not respond, or, you know. But if I don't, I'd rather look foolish for taking that risk,
right,
than always wondering, like, what if I, you know, what if I had reached out to that person? So I think that's important, too. I met some awesome writers early on, and I was just afraid to reach out and try to set something up because I, mm-hmm, wanted to work my way up to it.
Yeah.
And you just got to do it. You just got to dive in and say, hey, I'm new to town. Will you write with me? And maybe they'll say no, but, or maybe they'll say, let's go for coffee and I'll listen to your songs and help you get better, even if I'm not ready to write with you. Or, you
exactly.
know, so I think you just have to face your fears. Like, if it scares you, that's more of a reason to do it than to, like, be afraid of, oh, well, it probably won't work out anyways, so I just won't do it.
Well, that reminds me, I have a quote on my computer that's actually from a fortune cookie, like,
I love that.
Which I that's never amazing. Usually I don't like,
yeah,
the quotes that I get from a fortune cookie, but this one I loved because it was talking about how basically, like, you know, something that doesn't work out, that's one mistake that, you know, is it going to happen again? You've crossed that out. Yes. You're done, you know.
That's amazing.
I wish I could remember the exact line, but it's, you know, great perspective. So, So, you've got a publishing deal.
Yes.
You're working on new music.
Yes.
What do you see yourself doing this next year in 2019? Like, how does it feel?
We are wrapping up a whole year, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That is a very good question. I don't know. I mean, this year is the first year I really toured. This is the first year I put out music. So I would love to say this year just on steroids. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to keep doing more of the same, because I think since I've been in Nashville about, you know, 10 years now, I've always wanted this. I've always worked towards this. And now it's so weird. Everyone's like saying, you know, oh, the new artist, the new girl. And I'm like, I have been doing this for a decade.
Since, it has been that long, because how old are you?
27.
I'm the same age. So it's been, you've been here for
10 years. So, you know, I would just like to keep doing what I'm doing, but you know, bigger shows, bigger tour opportunities, more spins on Spotify, get a song on the radio, and just take everything we've done this year and crank it up a notch. So I think we're on a good path. I mean, also I think it's very important to surround yourself with people that make you want to be better and push you to be better. So I would hope that I would keep making good choices of who I surround myself with, because that's half the battle. And I've got such awesome people that inspire me every day. And if they weren't around, I would probably just like sit on my couch and watch Sex in the City or like Friends all day long, because that or sounds Netflix. Awesome, right?
So I feel like our generation, especially for artists, songwriters that are trying to develop their brand online with like all these different platforms, you got Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it all. How do you keep up? Like, how do you balance the time that you spend doing that versus writing? Or, I mean, I'm sure you have a team as well that are people that help you, but or is it mainly?
Well, back in the MySpace days.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved here, I heard rumors that Taylor Swift would spend about 4 hours a day finding fans, responding to fans, and talking to people one-to-one. And I think that, and like actually in my write today, we were talking about how, yes, she did that on MySpace, but Garth Brooks did that in the 90s before MySpace existed. He would just stay for hours and hours and hours after every show and meet every fan. So I think social media gives you the chance to connect with an individual in, you know, Omaha or Arizona or wherever, and you don't have to physically be there, which is awesome, because there's so many fan accounts on Twitter and Instagram that are like, you know, Carrie's Cuties or the Swifties or Marin Lover. And those are real country music fans that don't only have a personal page, they have made a page that is dedicated to being a fan. And there's hundreds of thousands of those accounts. So you can, if you want to, go and find the most active fans in country music. And before you get to their city on tour, you can have an interaction with them. And that is, to me, the biggest blessing that social media gives us as an artist, is you can connect with people all over the country before you ever get in front of them. And then if you are in front of them and they like you, they can follow you and then like your pictures and you can respond to them and say, it was so nice to meet you, or thank you for coming to the show. And I think getting personal with fans one-to-one, whether it's MySpace, Spotify, you know, or Instagram, Twitter, or at a show, I just think making every person, like saying their name and shaking their hand or looking them in the eyes, or just making them feel special. Like, I have talked to you, you and I have had, even if it's like two DMs back and forth of like, you know, if I post something, you know, like I posted last night that I was puzzling because I love to puzzle. It's like kind of my secret little hobby, especually in Christmas season.
Do you do the massive like?
Oh, I'm working on a 1500 piece one right now. I'll have it done tomorrow.
That's awesome.
But you know, I posted a video of my puzzling and I got so many fans responding to me, more than about some music stuff, because they're like, I puzzle too. And some people replied with pictures. And it's so cool. Like, I wouldn't know that, you know, going to a show and meeting a fan in a meet and greet line, that is something we have in common. So I do appreciate that social media can connect you guys on a human level. Mm-hmm. But I also do think, you know, I waste a lot of time looking at stuff on Instagram all the time that, you know, I think my time would be better spent elsewhere. You know, maybe like working on a song or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I love that it helps connect with the fans. I think that is such a powerful tool. And I love it for that, but it can be very time consuming. You know, I'm still a new artist. I can't imagine how many messages a day now someone like Marin or Kelsey gets.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, yeah. You could literally spend all day responding to people and talking to them. And I do. I mean, I think like every time I'm on my phone now, I don't use it for a personal tool. It is always business to me. I'm always trying to gain a fan, talk to a fan, and just build my following and my brand. And it is a 24-hour a day thing.
And then thinking ahead on like, if I do post this, what kind of response am I gonna get, you know, like versus this, you know.
And so that's interesting too. I won't say that that's been easy for me. Mm-hmm. I will be honest, like I navigate all the time, like I think I'm really funny, like that's just, but my humor is not everyone's humor. So how do I display or post where people would understand it? Because, you know, sometimes I'm really sarcastic and people think I'm serious. I'm like, oh my God, no. Like, this is a joke. So it's such a fine line.
But then that's like creating your niche audience too. Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, you got to experiment. You got to, you know, say stupid stuff and you might offend some people. But then also I don't want to be fake on there either, because there's so many people that, you know, you meet them in person and then they're nothing like it. So I'm every day trying to figure out how to get my social media better. I know that I'm not an expert, but I really try hard to figure it out because it's so important in this world we live in at this time.
So to your point with fan engagement, like what kind of stories have you heard them tell you about the songs that have touched them or what it?
So I just started touring this fall, like hardcore. I was gone for like, I think 7 weekends in a row, which is the longest and most I've ever done. And I've been stuck in Nashville basically for the last 10 years writing this record. And I trust the people's opinions around me, but we're so in the business here that sometimes going to Texas and, you know, playing for people there who've never heard of me, never heard my songs, to see how they react to it is very eye-opening, because some of the songs here that my team in Nashville has said is the best and some that they've kind of slept on and not really gotten excited about, I'll play live at a show and that's people's favorite. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get. But I have had some girls, when we started playing these shows, I was like, oh my gosh, what we're doing is working. Because girls have come up to me after the shows, because I have this song called Better Off that I wrote with Matt McGinn, Shane, Walker Hayes, and Jordan Schmidt.
And it's a good group.
They're amazing. Yeah. But it's called Better Off. And so it's basically like, you know, I was in this relationship where it was on and off and on again and off again. And I never knew if we were together, if we weren't. And so Matt came up with saying, maybe you're just better off. And so many girls would like run up to me after the show and be like, my boyfriend and I have been going back and forth and like he's here but like we're kind of on a break, or like, but thank you, because now I understand like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Or like I've been through that too. And so when they kind of can like put a hand up and be like, I relate to you, mm-hmm. that makes me feel like what I'm doing is working. You know, even if it's on a small scale right now, because I'm the opening act, it just gives me hope that if it's affecting this people this way.
And if you're seeing a response, that means it can only grow.
So I think we've written some awesome songs. I think there's, you know, I'm really, really excited to see how it keeps working with the girls. Because so far the response has been so positive and so awesome. So I'm super excited.
Well, where can people follow you?
Instagram.
Hear the new music.
Renee Blair, Twitter, I think it's Renee Blair Music, mm-hmm. Facebook, Spotify, love Spotify. Apple has, we're like on the top of Apple's playlist right now for me tonight.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we've gotten a lot of love this year, but on all the major platforms is where you can find me, and then lots more next year.
Love it. Or I'm so excited.
Thank you.
A lot to look forward to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on this. Happy holidays.
You as well. So glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Renee.
Thanks for listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. Check out yepnashville.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search at Yep Nashville. We have more exciting episodes coming your way in 2019, so if you are not subscribed to this series or know someone who should, please subscribe and write us a review. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, and Audioboom. Before we go, I want to give Josh Cross a shout-out for mixing this series. We've enjoyed producing the first few episodes of the Yep Podcast and cannot wait to share more with you in the new year. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich. Enjoy the rest of your 2018. Until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning.
Is that good?
Yes.
It's dangerous.
Basically, it's anything you just need to make airy. Like, hey.